Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This week's show is brought to you by Miracle Made. All right, now you guys, Brad and Alex, you know I like a lot of things, but I'm going to reveal a little bit about myself here. I really like sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's in my top three.
It's a great thing to do.
Wait, hang on. Eating, sleeping, and?
Sleeping. Again. Okay. It's mostly sleeping, then eating, then sleeping again.
Got it, yes. Got sleep, it. Get up, eat, and then you get back to sleep.
Yeah. If I could eat while I'm sleeping, I would probably do that too.
Sleep, eat, sleep, repeat. Got it.
Yes. And luckily for me, Miracle Made has sheets just for me. Because did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? And I'll tell you what I don't like, sleeping on a damn toilet seat. I would rather sleep in some nice sheets.
I don't know, man. Have you tried it?
Unfortunately, yes. And it's not my style.
I won't ask you to elaborate.
Inspired by those punks at NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. It has self-cooling properties. The sheets that are infused with this silver prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets, and no more gross odors. Only the best odors in my sheets. You can go to trymiracle.com/nextlander to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo NEXTLANDER at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to miracle.com/NEXTLANDER and use the code NEXTLANDER to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/NEXTLANDER to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very special edition of the NEXTLANDER podcast. Special for many, many, many reasons. One, extra remote Brad Shoemaker is here.
That's right, chew on those vowels. Just
extra. You are double remote.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I am.
It means you're not only not working out remote from your home, you're working remote from somewhere else.
Double remote. I was almost going to be triple remote today. I very nearly was going to be then yet another 5 hours from here, but didn't quite work out that way. Anyway, hello, hi.
Hi. Also special. I'm not feeling super well, so I'm going to be working from home today.
Okay.
So I'm gonna remote in today.
That's fine. I'll go into the office for you.
Alex Navarro holding down the New York office, the newly or soon to be registered New York office, I should say, as filings go in, holding it down there in Queens. How you doing?
We have to not do that joke because people are going to think we actually have an office in New York. We're actually planning on that. Right now, there are no plans for that. I have to say, joke. That said, yes, no, things are going great here in Queens.
Well, this works.
Yeah, I should say mostly joke, but do not go to the New York office because it is just an apartment somewhere in Queens.
Yeah.
do not visit the New York
office. It's a burnout warehouse in Bayside.
Also, do not visit the New Jersey office, and do not visit the California office. You are more than welcome to try and visit any of the other offices.
Please do not visit my home.
That's right.
That is my request to all of you.
Anyway, we are here. We are going to record this podcast, not talk about our amazing tax filings. Other things to talk about going on this week.
Like your health.
Oh, my health. That's right. Big health. Healthflow is out this week. Health Infinite is out this week. First the multiplayer, and then now the single player.
Honestly, Infinite does sound like a terrible healthcare provider.
I feel like we could use another couple rounds on that one, but if you like, proceed. Please go ahead.
I'll just close the loop here on this. I had a bad head cold starting out this week, since we pretty much record every 4 hours. I can do our 4 hour recording update. I had a bad head cold and I feel a little better today. Probably hear a little of my voice still. I wound up taking my first at home COVID test. Stuck a swab up my nose.
Oh, they do give you that? Really?
Yep. You put a couple of drops, some kind of whatever kind of thing that reacts with the proteins in the COVID booger.
I'm kind of surprised they let you swab your own nose. I mean, I can tell you from experience that swab is something even medical professionals can mess up.
You can swab your nose. You can swab your friends. I don't know. You can swab your nose. The family, and swirl it around.
The family that swabs together. Help me out.
Robs together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's not bad.
It's statistically true.
You're free of COVID, but not of crime.
That's right.
The latest teen trend, swabbing, is hitting the high schools this week. Everyone's swabbing each other.
So I swabbed both nostrils, swirled it around up there, stuck it in the little thing, and it's very like pregnancy test style thing of, hey, if this line shows up, then you're positive. If not, problem is, it's got a blue line on the thing. What they tell me is a blue line, and then they're like, okay, this should turn purplish pink. And I'm like, Jesse, come look. Do I have COVID? She's like, no, is it blue or is it purplish pink? Are there two lines? It says if there are two lines, but one, if they both need to be purple. And I did not, it came up. No line showed up.
Okay.
And my line was purple. So I guess that means, according to that test, it was a head cold. And that ends that chapter, hopefully.
And you got both brands, right? You doubled up.
I didn't check the other brand. Ah. So I had ordered some COVID tests, but then my wife ran out to go find some locally just because they were going to take 2 days. So she did, after about going to like three different places. There was a place semi-nearby that had them in stock. Picked them up. And now I have some extras, you know, probably good to keep on hand as we head into wave 87.
Also, you avoid the dreaded situation where you might get one up and one down.
That's right.
If you take them both, and then what do you do?
Well, I could be very wrong here, because most of my stuff is anecdotal and I don't talk to scientists that often. But I had heard more false positive than false negative stuff. But I really don't know if that's true. I mean, I am feeling better. I would take another one, I guess, if I were feeling worse. But, you know, how much does it cost? They come in packs of two, and I think they were $14. So it's $7 a pop.
Wow.
And I think that was the cheapest I saw them, $7 a pop. I'll wait a little bit. Let's see what goes on here. Burn through those things.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're feeling spry enough to play Halo Infinite the second it came out.
That's right. Hey, well, let's just get into it, man. Hey, we don't have to burn all the time on my nose boogers and my swabbing.
I was having such a good time with them, though, man. I don't know if I want to get off of this yet.
We can go back into the fun of wearing a mask with a runny nose if you really want
to
get in there.
Should I be concerned that you felt the need to specify that they were nose boogers? Is there another kind?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Want to know about the other kind, man.
Yeah, let's talk. Hey, Halo is out.
Hello!
Halo!
It is Halo. It is Emergence Day. Halo.
That's right. Yep, D-Day here on Planet Halo.
I have downloaded the... we are recording this a bit later in the day, and we got some Halo in. Brad, you have played way more Halo than both of us. I will just say, I played a little bit. You warned me that the beginning of Halo takes a little bit to get to that open world stuff, and I'm still not in the open world stuff.
You've got some corridors to crawl
and ships and space to traverse, and I'm gonna open with this. I'm really enjoying what I'm playing so far. I think it's fast, it's fun. The grappling hook is a lot of good time so far. Just moving around, and then mix that with a lot of Halo stuff. Boy, Master Chief is doing everything he can not to aim down those sights, though, right? Am I right?
That's not his way.
Just pulls up. We're almost there. Just like another like foot and a half, and you get down those sights. But I'm having a real good time with it. It's like moving in a way. We talked about this in the video we posted. You feel superhuman and Master Chiefish, and then you get surrounded, your shields go down, and you pop really quickly, right? So, like,
yeah,
you still have to be a little tactical, but a lot of times you're just grappling, punching, you know, doing all sorts of stuff and flying through that. I am so lost on the narrative.
Dude, yeah. Like, yeah. You came in here almost incensed before this, because you seemed like you felt like you had missed some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything to miss. I don't think any of that stuff is stuff you're supposed to know about. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I am armed with the Wikipedia page for Halo Wars 2 just in case right now.
I think I've got the like double jeopardy of I'm going to use that term. It's not what it means, but I'm going to use it.
It's fine. You're pot committed at this point.
I don't know if I'm supposed to know, you know, like that whole thing of like, if I knew that I was supposed to be missing this information, it would be okay. But yeah, when I came in here, I was like, okay, what's going on here? And when you were like, I don't think you're supposed to know what's going on there. That makes it even worse for me.
So you think it's an, if you know situation, but you don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know.
See, I extra don't know because, again, I really checked out on Halo lore after 3. So I am very far away from what any of this shit is.
I don't know that you've missed that much.
That's the thing. I have not been told that, like, any of what I've missed is, like, vital or exciting or great. It's just, like, I just don't know.
There was a point in that game when I was running down one of those corridors, and this is super early on, so there's no spoilers here. But there's just like a kind of floating tablets with pictograms of humans on them. And somebody just goes, oh, yeah, that Forerunner stuff. and I'm just like, what? I've missed a lot as well. And, you know, the person was just like the voice in my head was just like, it was the guy from the Pelican. He's like, oh, man, they mentioned the humans and the Forerunner stuff was weird. But, all right, running on.
Well, OK, you guys aren't as deep in as I am. But
no,
that guy.
Oh, you mean Mr. Game Over, man?
Dude, he is like, it is nothing but that. He is the most excitable video game companion I think I've, like, he is never stops talking about how he's about to be killed, and you got to get him the hell out of here, because he's about to be killed, oh my god, we're gonna die, constantly.
So are the Space Marines really this hard up for people at this point? Because this guy feels like the guy you pull in when literally everyone else is dead.
Like, he really does not want to be there. I like that little scene at the beginning where he's all like high and tight, military crew cut looking guy. And then in one nice smooth camera move, like he has aged 6 months and like big beard and like, oh, he's been stranded for a while.
It was a hard 6 months.
Like, apparently. Joel, Last of Us.
I mean, like the little hologram with his wife and child was a little bit trite, but like I thought that whole thing was done pretty well.
So the game has run pretty much fine for me, and I'll chalk this up to just kind of turn and burn on the install and go. That part sat on that hologram and didn't move, and I was just kind of waiting there. And the only when I hit all the any buttons, it just said skip. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to skip it. Am I supposed to like? Reach forward, like push the stick forward. I can move the camera around, but it just sat there on that hologram without triggering the dialogue or anything, and it just didn't move. I was like, I thought it was one of those things like in Alex, you'll probably know what I'm talking about, like Man of Medan in those games where you like reach forward and then turn a thing with your hand, like reach and grab it. And then I finally just hard quit the game. And quit out and reloaded back in, and it's just a fluid cutscene. It just goes around the whole thing. That was weird. And again, maybe it was just because it was like install, go, let's move it, keep it moving. That was corny. Show daddy, look how big you are. I get it. Like you need the slightest bit of like why this guy is on edge and why he wants to get. I think he wants to get again. I don't know enough of the story. Is there a home to go back to at this point?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm looking at this Wikipedia page, and I can't answer that question.
Can you do a find on there for Zeta Halo? Ringworld?
Zeta
Halo?
So I believe Zeta Halo is completely new. The Banished are definitely not. The Banished were definitely in Halo Wars 2.
Okay.
Great. Atreus?
Atreox.
Atreox?
I love celebrating the entire canon.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, so Atreox was in Halo Wars 2. Okay, that's good to know. Also, he's voiced by John DiMaggio. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Huh. Doesn't sound like him.
Okay, what else you got?
It really is Emergence Day.
Okay, let's just keep this Control F train of rolling here. Okay. I searched for what is the big capital ship? UNSC Infinite? Or Infinity?
Wait, can't be Infinite. That's just the name of the game.
It's Infinity, right?
It's all Infinity, man.
You got me, man.
The big ship. The big ship at the beginning that is kind of taken over by the Banished. It's the Infinity. Okay.
Okay.
That is not mentioned on this Wikipedia page.
Okay.
So your guess is as good as mine? Yeah, I don't know.
Search Spartan.
All I really knew going into this was what happened at the end of Halo 5, which is that Cortana went rampant and rogue, right? And became like kind of the villain. And that's about it.
Okay, so maybe I'm not supposed to know. Maybe we'll just get more as we go. I like to usually know what's going on here, but so far, Master Chief. There was a part in the very beginning where Master Chief is staring at a map, and there's some display on his visor, and he's like, "Set a new waypoint. We're going in to get the thing." And I was like, "What? Did I miss a beat here?" And the Pelican guy, the ship pilot's like, "Why are we going home again?" And then we just go get another AI. Do you know how he knew that thing was there?
You know how this works. There is always a Halo, a Spartan, and an AI.
He's a very lonely Spartan. I can see why having your AI ripped out makes you a lonely John. Do you know how he kind of knew? Was he just like scanning mission objectives? Did he pull up the start menu and found a new mission? Or like what?
Yes, he set a waypoint. I don't know. I believe the whole thing takes place in medias res, right? Like in the middle.
Right in it.
I think that's the idea. I don't.
All right.
Please, for the love of God, don't go read any novels. I don't think there's anything there to find.
I might go read a novel or two. I don't know.
Don't read a novel.
Okay, let me ask you this.
You're from Brad Shoemaker. Never read a novel.
He is caught suspended in space in his like survival mode in his armor. That happened already. Didn't that happen already? Was that Halo 4?
No. I think that happens in the intro to this, which I think is a flashback to events we've never seen, unless that happens at the end of Halo Wars 2. I have no idea.
But wasn't there a stranded Master Chief at the end of Halo 3?
Oh, you're right. I think, that did. This is like
He's
the second.
He's been stranded before.
I think you're totally right. Isn't this actually the second time they have found him floating in space?
Who's going to drop that guy? Like that guy that kills him at the beginning of this game, just rip his head off.
I know, right? What are you doing?
What are you doing? This guy survives like Planetfall in that suit. The guy is can like. That's not how you kill Master Chief. Also, the gravity in this game is narrative gravity.
The ship falling apart into the exact platforming sequence that you need?
Oh, yeah.
Or not even that. I just mean like holding out Master Chief out of an airlock and then an open airlock and then letting go and he drops down. I guess maybe he was close enough to some kind of gravity well or planet or something, but you would assume he would let go of your head and he would just stay there. just not move, but I don't know. Maybe that ship is moving very quickly and Master Chief is not relative to the ship. I don't know what kind of gravitational field Master Chief has. It's big. It's big for Microsoft.
John 117 makes his own gravity, okay?
That's right. I'm enjoying this game so far. It's fun. Brad, now you can tell me.
The firefights are good.
Once you get to this open world, what do I have to look forward to?
Kind of a lot of the same stuff over and over from what I saw. I only got a handful of hours into it because the review build that they opted us into expired after a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, the timing didn't line up very well. I had travel going on and some other stuff, and then an internet outage stopped me from playing it for a while. So I got 5-6 hours into the campaign before we lost access to the review build. So we put that video up. You guys watched me play a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think I maybe did it twice in that video. I went and took a forward operating base, the FOBs.
Yeah.
Those might as well be Ubisoft towers. Those are basically Assassin's Creed towers, it turns out, because every time you take one of those, they quite literally bring up a world map and just like a wave of icons populates around it. And every time I took a FOB, it was this same set of icons. So it was like, okay, there's a banished outpost here to take. There's a high value target roaming around. You can go kill them.
Okay.
There are 3 UNSC squads that are sending out distress calls. You can go help them. Like, and there are a bunch of Spartan cores, which are the upgrade points. But like, there's kind of the same activities.
What, because you did a fob, and then there's another thing, just like a bad guy base, right? There's like
the, yeah, that was the Banished Outpost or whatever they call it. Outpost. I forget the actual terminology, but so that was, so the fobs, you take a fob in 30 seconds. There's like, every time I took one, there were like 12 enemies there, and I just killed them, and that was it.
And
like,
then the UNSC owns that fob, right?
Yeah, and so those become fast travel points, and you can spawn any vehicles and weapons you've unlocked up to that point there.
Okay.
It's funny, the fobs very quickly make you see how they tried to paper over the lack of campaign co-op in this. Huh. Because, so you have what's called Valor Points, which you earn for doing side missions and taking fobs, and I think you even get them from story missions. And you've got what looks like a battle pass in the single player campaign.
Oh.
Which you are, you'll see it, it's under,
I saw it while you were playing.
Yes, we saw it in that video. So it's like literally just a giant row of icons from left to right of stuff you unlock with Valor Points as you play through the story, and that's like, you know, now you can spawn a warthog at your fobs, now you can get this gun, now you can do this. Like, a bunch of the icons on that stuff that you can unlock are people. They're like specialists. They're like, oh, now you can spawn a rocket trooper guy. Like,
oh, now
your fobs will have this type of soldier. So very quickly, if you spawn a warthog at your fobs, a bunch of AI dudes will run over and jump into it with you, like, be like, yeah, Master Chief, let's go fuck shit up.
That's like, wild.
Yeah, so,
okay.
So, because otherwise, like, you see this open world and you see these fobs with all these vehicles you can spawn, and you are instantly like, man, I wish I could get a couple friends in here and we could all pile into this thing and just tear around and do stuff. But that is not an option yet, so they shove that AI in there.
They haven't given a timetable on when that stuff is launching, other than next year, right?
I mean, I want to say they said after season one of the multiplayer, which is now ending in May, so it's a ways. It's a ways off.
I haven't been in the Halo co-op game in a while. Have they all had local campaign?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think this one will as well?
I don't know if this one actually will or not. I'm not sure. Now that they're doing an open world, that's kind of a lot.
It's a lot
for four people on a console.
Like split screen,
potentially. They might be. I wouldn't put it past them, but...
Okay.
I
was thinking about jumping into the Halo games co-op with my kids and seeing if... or at least my son. I don't know if my daughter would enjoy it, but I don't know if my son will either, but it could be fun. Because I need to catch up on some Halo lore, at least 4 and 5.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think those games are fine, right?
They're fine. Yeah, fine. Yes, is a good word.
Yeah.
Like, they're not bad. Like, they're not bad games, but...
And they're not super long. I mean, they're not super long.
I think they struggled to find Halo's new identity in a post-Covenant world.
Sure, yes.
Honestly, but...
As far as I can understand, the Banished are just like the ragtag. We're a faction without a home, right? The Covenant.
The leftovers.
The military. Sure. And they're just like...
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bunch of brutes getting too big for their britches.
And some grunts and some elites.
A few elites, not so many elites this time, but they're around.
Some named characters in there. I saw you run around. I think that grappling hook in the open world, even in the closed spaces, I was afraid I wasn't going to remember to use it, but that is not the case. I use that thing all the time. I wish the cooldown were instant on that thing.
You'll get there pretty quickly. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's got a very vanilla upgrade tree, you know, like the upgrade tree in this thing is like, it's five categories with, what is it? 4 pips each, 5 pips each, I think.
And from the thing I saw, 4 was it?
And you find upgrade points in the world and you just upgrade those abilities as you like, you know, like it's really pretty familiar stuff, but like that's where the variety in the combat starts coming in. Like you've seen it's interesting because they put the multiplayer out for this before the campaign. So you have actually seen a lot of the abilities you will unlock over the course of this campaign because they're already in the multiplayer. So like the drop shield, the big orange energy shield you've seen in multiplayer, like that's one you get later on, stuff like that. And you upgrade, you know, the abilities and kind of cooldowns and stuff on each one of them. So like, very quickly, you'll get to the point where your grappling hook is cooling down almost as fast as you can use it.
Oh, great.
And like, it shocks enemies when you hit them with it, so they can't attack you while you're zipping to them.
That's good. Maybe does it lower their defenses, too? Because a lot of those brutes just put their arms up when I...
I think there are some enemies, I think, that can still resist the stun when you hit them with it, I think. But
grappling those explosives is super fun.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, like as straightforward as that upgrade tree is, like the combat really does start feeling like more than just Halo as you start filling it out, because it really does just feel like Halo at first.
Yeah, a lot of grenades, a lot of punching, a lot of
a very specific weapon field that is unmistakably Halo.
All corridors.
That was it. The Mauler, that like little handheld.
Yes, the Mauler is probably my favorite weapon.
It's good because it's the one you get the most of. That and the Needler, I think, pretty much in the early goings.
I don't know that I'm feeling the Needler in this one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I haven't found it that useful, really.
I like the Needler on a now the combo of. All right, I'm still working on my my combos here, but I think on an Elite, unloading with the Needler, pop the Elite shields, and then grapple and punch seems to take them down pretty quickly. So that's like a fun combo.
It is. It's like you're right. I have been finding combos too. Like there's like the regular brutes that are not too hard to take down, but then you quickly start meeting like super brutes, and you can't just zip to them and punch them in the face, kill them. But what I've been doing is switch to the plasma grenade.
Okay.
And you'll zip to them and hit them and do some damage. And then as soon as you kind of bounce back off of them, you can stick a plasma grenade on them like without missing ever because you're right in their face.
Oh, I like that.
And just pop back before it explodes. And like, that's a fun way to take those out. Like it's fast paced. It's zippy. Like there's a lot of variety in the combat. Like it's really fun to just shoot stuff in these open encounters.
I kind of like, I'm very excited for the co-op campaign stuff that is, I know it's like just never happy, Caravella. Just always want the next thing, but just I'm curious to see what it looks like just watching, you know, a bunch of grappling hooks against AI going off, you know, people zipping, or at least a partner zipping around because it's a lot of fun, especially in those little corridors. I've missed a couple of times with the grappling hook. And that's that can be a little devastating when you when you go past the guy into
there
battle.
Is- like a just a little too much precision or a degree of precision that is like missing from the grappling hook that I feel like would make it like the best grappling hook. Like it's still fun. It's good to use. I enjoy it. And I especially like using it in combat, but like, I don't know. Like you said, there's just like a, maybe it's my aim. I don't know, but like, it feels like sometimes you're just a little off in a way that you shouldn't be when you're in those like hectic firefights.
I'm curious how this is on the PC. I think, Brad, you've talked about it a bunch, kind of wanted to check out mouse and keyboard. Yes, I had a problem, you know, just kind of cropped up, but the auto aim or the kind of aim assist, let's say, on the controllers, or maybe it was the weapon I was using. I thought it was a plasma carbine. I was trying to shoot an explosive next to a guy and the bullets kept going into the person instead of the thing.
It's very generous.
I couldn't hit the thing.
That plasma carbine in particular almost reminds me of the kind of magic briefcase from Hitman. Have you seen that?
Corners?
Like,
yeah.
No, it literally almost does. Like I sometimes literally see those things just curving in like a really obvious kind of ridiculous way.
I mean, is that the weapon? Is it supposed to do that?
No, I think that's just them.
A little assist?
Giving you an assist, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you have some pretty serious air control with the grappling hook. Like, you're mobile. It's, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you fling around a lot more.
Yeah, like, that becomes crucial. Like, the game's not easy. Like, I've been playing it on normal, and it's like, I died in some encounters, especially, like, some of those high-value targets that roam around, because you can get unique weapons off of killing them. Like, I've died on some of those encounters, like, a dozen times. Like, they really get on top of you.
So what does that mean, get a unique weapon?
I never quite figured out what the differences were. They definitely have different skins, and I really hope that's not the only difference. Like, I think
it'd be a little stronger than the other ones of that type.
It might just be slightly higher damage or something, but I could never quite tell what was different about the firing characteristics.
Do you pull them out from a fob or something at that point?
Yes, you can get them at the fob.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So you guys have not made it to the open world yet?
No.
No, I'm still in the ship, second ship.
It really does take some time. But I was definitely enjoying my time with the campaign, but I started to have some concerns toward the end of the time I spent with it about repetition.
Okay.
Like I said, those activities are the activities, and you're going to see those every time you take over a fob. You're going to do those same things again. And I didn't really get a lot of value in there being an open world in between those activities. Like, you know, it's fun enough to drive a warthog around, but I didn't see a lot to discover from point to point, you know?
Yeah. Like
it's really just, you're spending some time getting from place to place and it looks decent enough and that's fine. But like, you know, anything of interest is marked as an icon on your map, and anything in between there feels like it's like kind of empty from what I saw.
Do they gate off the story missions by doing open world stuff? Like, hey, we need to go take down two more outposts or something like that?
Not at all. Not at all that I've seen. Every story mission I had access to, it would just pop the icon on the map and you could just go there.
Okay, so you can kind of, it seems like at least you might be able to go at your own pace through the story.
I think that's the case. Although, so like, and it also got into a very familiar routine every time I did a story mission, because then you're just going into an interior, which is very classic Halo, right?
Right.
To the point that the one I left off on was like, it was so classic Halo that I fought the same exact room like three or four times in a row. And by the time I got to the last of that exact same, you know, it's like kind of classic Halo copy and paste level design, right? Like they make some cool combat encounters and then you see those repeatedly. So after I did the same cavernous room fight like three times in a row, I was like, I'm going to take a break.
My biggest question is, have you found anything that explains the grappling hook? Is there?
He just has it. When they start that cutscene, it's just like, he's just got it.
Check it out. Yeah. Grappling hooks are pretty cool.
Oh, sure. Oh, I get it. Hey. I mean, if somebody came up to Master Chief and was like, grappling hooks are pretty cool. Yeah, they are. Here,
okay, what if I told you they were going to release a solo DLC campaign where you find out the story of how Master Chief got his iconic grappling hook?
Don't read the grappling hook novel, please.
I will read the entire book of Halo Tales of the Grapple.
That grappling hook was Cortana's brother.
Oh, no. And then now you wear it in memory.
What do you think of the new AI? Like, I can't tell if I'm being suckered or not, because like
I just got her, so I don't really have an opinion.
I really like them so far.
I do too, but I feel like I'm being hoodwinked, because it kind of feels like it's just an excuse to basically just have original Cortana again. Like, she's very much got that like sprightly upbeat vibe of original Cortana, but real Cortana, of course, is like, you know, rogue and bad now. It kind of feels like they're having their cake and eating it too a little bit of like. This AI sure is an awful lot like the one you love, even though not technically, but again, like, it's working on me, so.
They do make you feel just a bit guilty when you get that new AI. They have, like, a brief scene where some kind of flashback where Cortana is like, you know, they're just going to give you a new AI, and it's just going to be, it's not going to be me. You know that, right? You know it's not going to be me. Okay, I just want to double check. I'll be gone. It won't be me. Yeah. And then you're just like, hi. Oh, hi, I'm new AI. Great, yeah. Get in my head, let's go. I like them. I think the facial animations are very good. I think the kind of emoting is good. You know, it's a video game, and I'm not here to nitpick this stuff. I just find it funny in the, what is the word for manifesting, interfacing with a computer by making like digital things do real things, like have to touch them or hug them, like when she like absorbs data and is like hugging it, and you know, being like, what are you representing here?
Like, wait until she starts doing like elaborate hand signals as she's hacking things, like she has fun.
I call that lawnmower manning.
I mean, there must be like, hey, no, this would just be like a command line somewhere, or if that, you know, like you're just a computer talking to another computer. You don't need to like put your arms out and absorb a blue glowing thing and then be like, whoa, what a rush.
Oh, that was data. Don't worry.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That stuff's funny. I don't know how the computer materializes in Master Chief's hands, or, you know, maybe he's got little projectors in there. It's fun. I like it. I think it's working so far for me. I think I realized once I got the new AI in my helmet, I was like, this is really important to this game to have another voice for Master Chief to talk to throughout the game. Mm-hmm.
Because like, I don't think I've ever realized more than I have with this game how much of just a kind of a cipher that character is.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
Like, there is no depth to Master Chief at all. And like, there never was, and I didn't ever expect
a guy.
I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe it was me that changed. I don't know. And not Halo, but like just the extreme one note heroism, just like never a single moment of doubt or hesitation. Yeah. Just, I got this, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
it's like, what are you doing? He's like making solutions. You know, it's like, he never stops. Exactly. He never says no. He never does anything but plow forward. It's like, is there even a human in there?
I mean, that's the thing though, is that like, that's why so much of the lore about him is literally just about how he became the Master Chief. And then it was just like, okay, now he's the Master Chief. Like, he doesn't really do anything other than just fuck up whatever is in front of him.
That's totally fine. You know, like that's classic video game.
He's the suit.
But yes, totally. It's classic video game protagonist. It's like one step away from Doom Guy. It's just that they don't bother trying to make Doom Guy talk. You know, it's like,
yeah,
Master Chief is technically a character because he has dialogue, but he's not really a character because there's nothing there.
No, he's a quip machine.
Right, right.
And yeah, those quips aren't even really funny. They're just kind of like, you know, straight and to the point. It's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, so he needs that kind of a foil or somebody else there to kind of move that along. And, you know, without the AI, you're stuck with the, you know, the Pelican pilot. And then, you know, that just got old a little quickly. So it's nice.
I hope there's more in store for that guy. I hope he's got an arc.
Get him home. I'll read that novel as well.
The Tales of the Pelican Pilot. Is he going to make the ultimate noble sacrifice? I don't know.
You know what? I could see that very end of the game is like, you're right, Chief. Yes. We do whatever we can.
Yeah.
They're going to make him mayor of Zeta Halo.
That's right. He's going to be just a small little fiefdom on there. Yeah. He's going to join the Banished and actually take you out. I don't know. Fun so far. Probably plenty of Halo Infinite in our futures.
Oh, sure.
I will be playing a considerable more round of this.
I definitely want to hear what you guys think about the open world stuff. Like that first Banished outpost we did on that video that we put up on YouTube, like you probably heard it in my voice. Like I was like warming up to the game as we did that outpost, right? I was like, yeah. You know what? Like, it's like, all right, I'm grappling up on top of buildings and I'm like grabbing these fuel cores and throwing them in people's faces and doing all this acrobatic stuff. And like Halo, but open is pretty awesome. You know, like I was really getting into it, but then like, you know, I did like three more of those bases after that video and like, it's a lot more of that, you know, and some of them are a little more klutzy than others of just like, oh boy, there sure are a lot of snipers on this one. I'm just dying over and over, stuff like that. So I want to see what kind of staying power it has. I'm going to have to start over because the saves didn't transfer from the review build. So
that is kind of wild.
I will have to go through that entire intro again.
That is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a terrible intro. I do think they could
seems a little long.
They could get you into the new part of the game, which is the open world, a little faster than they do.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of just, it kind of opens up with some pretty traditional Halo, which is, you know, okay. But yeah. I am itching to get myself on a Mongoose or a Warthog and start driving.
Well, I mean, I immediately found myself driving Vinny style in this game, which is like...
Don't follow the roads.
Completely disregard roads and mountains and like obstacles of any kind. Like literally just point at the objective and press the accelerator because like at a certain point I just wanted to get there. Like I said, I mean, it's fun to drive in that game, but there's not, from what I could see, there's not a ton to discover from like as you're going from point to point. And I kind of just wanted to get to the next mission and do it.
What you need are other Master Chiefs coming down the road the other way.
Just
go. Beep, beep. Hello, where are you going?
That's right.
Gotta get a fob. Beep, beep.
I'm the blue Master Chief.
That's right. Check me out. Halo Infinite out now as the time of this recording.
You can just download that shit.
That's right. Free with Game Pass. $60 otherwise. It is on Steam.
That was a weird experience. I have it installed. I have it installed on this Xbox Series S, which I brought with me across the country to keep playing Halo on.
Yeah.
I had the multiplayer, you know, the multiplayer beta installed on there. And like... to get the campaign after 1 o'clock today, I literally hit manage game on the multiplayer.
Yes. Choose the part you want to install.
And it's just like listed as an add-on you already have underneath. I was just like, okay, I guess I'll just tick campaign and hit save and it's going to update.
Yeah, that was funny.
Strange experience for like what was originally going to be the premier launch title for the Xbox Series X, right?
I wonder if they'll roll that up in some of the further edition of that game. I know they've said this is a platform, right? Or they've hinted at this is a platform, not a game.
Yeah,
right?
Like the language was something like, you know, Halo Infinite represents like the next decade of Halo or something like that. But I don't know. Yeah. That could mean a lot of things. I don't know.
So maybe there'll be multiple components down the line. The Tales of the Pelican Pilot.
Yes, the Tales of the Master Chief.
Grapple Time.
I thought you were going to say Grapple Town, and that sounded way more interesting.
Grapple Town. It's not an easy word to rhyme, grapple.
Crapple,
apple, and that's about it, right?
Grab your Snapple.
That's right.
What do you got? Grapple, Snapple, Apple.
I don't know. Flapple.
I don't think.
I mean,
a lot of fun words.
Yes. Lapple.
Kerflapple. Yes. Okay.
Kerflapple. The grapple kerflapple.
Yep, that's the one.
Halo Infinite out now. Catch it.
Yeah, it seems pretty good.
Chief is back.
Curious to see how it holds up over time.
Apologies for my Halo universe ignorance. I'm going to try and catch up. I'll be an expert next time you see me.
Please,
I am an expert.
Please tell me where that ship came from.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look. I'm gonna do one of those cool videos where I talk all low. Now that I have this cold, I can talk all low.
That's right.
The Master Chief was born. And it'll be about 4 hours long. Another game that came out recently, Chorus.
Mm. Oh, Chorvs.
Chorvs.
I'm getting that joke in one last time.
To its one friends. More time. C-H-O-R-U-S. Chorus.
Chorvs. Yes, it is actually Chorus.
I don't know why there's a big old V in that.
Style
it's
thing.
Like, it's like Latin. Points.
It's like churches.
Chorus is put out, I believe it's put out by Deep Silver. I think that's published by Deep Silver.
Yes.
It's interesting. We've talked recently, I feel like more in the last 6 months-ish maybe than previously, maybe because we're playing Binary Domain, Alex, I don't know, about kind of 360 throwbacks and kind of last-gen throwbacks, Xbox One, more 360 stuff. This feels like a kind of well-done throwback to that era of Crimson Skies or arcade shooter. You're in a spaceship. It's kind of arcade flight mechanics for the most part.
Yeah.
And you're kind of taking on missions where you're taking out space pirates and flying through pickups.
I see where you're going with that. I was trying to figure out what the kind of throwback connection was, but once you said Crimson Skies, I was like, all right, that makes sense. I mean, I feel
it's like very simplified space flying mechanics and, you know, combat and, like, you know, there are certain things you need to do to, like, take down any of those shields versus ones without, but, and it's a lot of, like, at least where I am in the game, in the first couple of hours, there's, like, an open world area you're in, where you're kind of going from place to place and hitting, discovering new locations, doing side missions for the various places around there.
It is kind of open world spaceship RPG, sort of.
Yeah.
There's no experience points. You're not leveling it. Well, so you do have mastery. You do have mastery challenges, so you, like, kill 50 enemies with your guns, and now your guns do more damage, or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. You spend money to upgrade your ship a bit. It's interesting. You're kind of the story being the Chorus is this unified vision for controlling humanity.
It's a cult.
It's a cult.
And you were in the cult.
And you were in the cult, and you were an ace in this cult.
Yes,
and
you were a willing executioner in this cult, apparently.
Yeah.
I thought like that intro did a lot of work in a short period of time.
Yeah,
like I was like, wow, it's like there is like the writing is pretty well done and this narration is like pretty dramatic, and it's like, okay, you've established pretty much everything going on in this universe, like in the space of like 2 minutes.
The narration is very dramatic, and there's a lot of it. Your character speaks in this very whispery tone that I would say, like, someone decided that an entire game needed to be narrated by Thane Krios. It's that kind of, like, slightly hurried, slightly hushed talking where it feels like they are really trying to get you through some significant thing very quickly.
She basically, so they mix like her actual dialogue to other characters with this like really highly dramatic whispered inner monologue, like literally from sentence to sentence she's like talking to people and then like whispering what she's actually thinking.
If you have seen Lord of the Rings where they go to the elf city and they talk to Galadriel and they're all getting their boons or whatever,
and she makes a couple of Galadriel faces too. This woman is very intense.
It is exactly that.
That's
like,
actually a pretty good analogy.
Like you will destroy them all. Hi,
anyway, hi, how's it going?
How's it going?
There's definitely some of that. I kind of like it. I was torn on it. It's like very melodramatic, but I think it's kind of cool.
It's very melodramatic, but the thing is, like, I think they're not lingering on stuff too long. Like, it moves you through the different objectives and story beats pretty quickly, at least in the early goings. And the combat is fun. Like, the thing I was worried about, which is the thing I'm inevitably worried about with all these kinds of games, is am I actually going to enjoy the pew-pew in space? And I very much do. Like, it is simplified, but it is enjoyable, and it has just enough challenge to kind of keep you into it.
It's like very, very turn and burn arcadey kind of dogfights. It's very much just like, oh well, this guy just flew past me. I got to cut my engines and do a 180. And then, like, do you ever get a real 180? Do you, like, I find myself badly wanting just a like quick turn 180 button.
It's more of
a decelerate and hard turn than it is a 180, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah, not yet, but I So two things. One, I had to knock my sensitivity way down. I was playing with a controller, and I just kept on, like, you know, squirrely all over the place. It's very sensitive for the aim. So I had to knock it way down. And you also, we didn't mention, you kind of have magic you've got this like I forget what they call you.
They call them rights.
Yeah, you're, rights. Right.
You're kind of like a space wizard, sort of space psionic wizard, I guess, who was part of this cult. And like, what is it? The first one, the one you start with, is like the right of the senses, I think.
Yes.
Which is basically just a way to ping the environment to highlight objectives and collectibles, but.
So maybe you get a right at some point that's like the right of 180. I don't know. That could turn the ship around.
There's slots.
You get upgrades.
Yeah, there's slots in the menu for like what, six different rights, seven, something like that. So
yeah, and like I've gotten three ship upgrades. I got that laser, and then I got the healing nanobots for the ship. So I'm filling out my D-pad. So I don't know. Eventually, I'll get to the one. There is a drift I saw on the on the controller.
Oh, okay. I want to do some drifting.
I don't think I have it yet, though. It's on the left bumper. Just when I was looking at the mapping of the controller, I saw it on there. But I hit it a bunch and nothing happened. So yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's
a $40 game. Yeah. So, you know, pay attention to that. But it also, like, you know, talking about those kind of throwback games, it feels like a game that would have cost $40 on, like, the PS2 or the 360 era as well. So, like,
it's very good looking.
Yeah, it looks really nice, actually. Yeah, like sharp. The explosions, all the laser effects and stuff. Even on the Series S that I brought out here, like, it's solid 60 FPS. Like,
yeah.
Very, very nice looking.
The back of your ship looks great. Like, you see it
a
lot.
Those afterburners are, yeah.
Yeah, the kind of modeling and the way they move around and stuff, and when you hit the boost, it looks really good.
Yeah, it seems like there's probably a decent amount to it. Like, have you gone to the local map and zoomed out to, like, the galaxy or the solar system map?
I did, yeah. So I cleared out that first area.
Oh, you did.
And I did all the missions I could there and tried to collect as much stuff as I could. And I'm ready to jump to the next system.
Okay, that's where there's six different, at least I think six different maps, like different locations, kind of open world areas. So yeah, it seems like it's a decent amount of meat in there.
So I'll be curious to see, you know, by the time I was mopping up the stuff in there, I wanted to get more upgrades and make the combat a little different. I mean, if you're not careful, you can get killed pretty quickly. There are points where I had to change up my strategy instead of just like, you know, you can target quickly when you're not moving, but you're just going to get destroyed. So you always got to kind of be boosting and moving around. So it's interesting in that way. But I want more with the ship. I do want like that drift. I want different weapons. I think this would be a fun game to play with a flight stick. I haven't tried any of that yet, but it is arcadey enough and not simmy, but there are enough kind of controls on it where having a throttle could be fun. I don't know. I don't know if they support that. I haven't played it, but with a controller.
I mean, you're always looking for a reason to HOTAS. You can
always
say it.
Yeah, seriously. Always. Never not HOTAS. That's Chorus. That's out now. PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. $40. And I'll just mention here on the Solar Ash front, I've continued to Solar Ash my way forward. That game seems to be going on longer than I thought it might. You kind of get those pips for how far you are.
I saw
the world
thing is like a almost a world tree kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
kind of shows your progress.
Yeah, so I think I still have two more to go, and it's like this world's gonna be fairly long if you're trying to get all the suits. Maybe I'm spending too much time to get all the suits, but if you're not getting the suits, what are you doing, right? I've gotten all the suits. So
I don't know.
The suits seem like the thing.
Yeah, the suits are cool looking.
I definitely I love me some suits, but
yeah,
I saw what was required to get that first optional one, and I was like,
maybe not.
Just move on to the next area.
Wait, you mean to collect them all? Like to collect the pieces?
Yeah, the one
or?
Where you have to find like all the, what are they, logs? Or they're almost like
after
images of the character who died, whose suit you want. Like it's like little echoes of the, like memories.
I mean, that's cool because it's a little bit of narrative context. So it's, and you get this, and you get the upgrade piece for the suit, but they can be a little bit of a pain in the booty to find because you have to, they're hidden. They don't show up on your scan. The only thing you get is a little symbol in an area sometimes that kind of shows you the starting point for the run to get the suit.
Yeah. And also like the thing I found in that first big area, the Broken Capital, I think it's called. Like,
yeah.
Like all the architecture kind of, you know, all the buildings more or less look the same.
Yeah,
and like, it's a little hard to keep your bearings and remember like, oh, I have been up on that top of that building, but not that other one. And like, I didn't like
that area.
Yeah. And I got to the one after that and like, it looked pretty similar in terms of the visual design. Like, does the game ever like really start changing it up?
I forget what's after that. Oh, yeah, it does. There's I'm up to like the mushroom Oh, you just finished the mushroom area. That part's pretty cool. Like it's different, and you get different mechanics too in that area. So I'm still enjoying it.
Is it more Tony Hawk?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it just like you get an ollie at some point?
No, you grind on.
Oh wait, no, I forgot.
It's a grinding game.
I forgot. We decided this is more Jet Set Radio than Tony Hawk.
Yeah, it's more grinding.
So do you get a can of spray paint? What's going on?
No tagging as of yet.
Well, I'm trying to. Well, you basically get a thing that is like you have to. You kind of like hit a you collect a thing and then you have to get to a door very quickly to open the door. So like it's like a timer based thing. So you have to grind your way very quickly or kind of navigate.
Ah, dude, I don't know about doing some of those grinding challenges on a time limit. I'm not sure if that's what I'm looking for.
It might not be, but I liked it so far. I'm gonna try and finish it up. We'll see how it goes. Just want more suits. Gotta get more suits.
I'm always gotta get more suits.
More suits. But yeah, I think the thing that I'm probably going to wind up talking about next week is Halo Infinite, if I had to guess.
Probably.
I mean, I was thinking about it this morning, like in the hours before it actually came out. And I mean, especially because it was interesting seeing people that reviewed it, like multiple people out there saying that like, oh, you know what, Dad, this was a limited time build. Like my save didn't come over. Like, it's kind of like I never played it, but they were all saying like, I'm going to go play through it again.
Okay.
And like, I was thinking about it, and like, the game has just reached this mythic status at this point, right? Like, any game with this much of a troubled development and this much, like, chaos in its release cycle.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know what it is, right? Like, you've got to see that thing through to the end.
Just like Sleeping Dogs.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes, the perfect example. But, you know, like, just the delays and the, again, like, it was supposed to be the launch title for the new Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt that it seems really fun.
It's cool, yeah. But I mean, just also, like, I just academically.
Yeah, it's like their flagship game.
I've got to know what that thing ended up being.
I mean, the thing that's really funny is that, in a way, it still ended up being that, because it was still the biggest, most like noteworthy marquee thing to come out for Xbox in the year that followed.
I guess you're not wrong.
Last year's Xbox launch a soft launch. Like, dude, they put the hardware out there, and they were just like, we'll get there.
Dude, like, granted, I got my hands on a Series X before they came out, so I was in a review window where we didn't have access to all the games yet, but when they did that Xbox Museum thing a couple weeks ago, remember, where you could see, like, oh, here's the first game you played on each Xbox. The first game I ever booted on a Series X was Dead Rising 3, apparently.
That sounds about right.
Like, that tells you how many games there were at launch for that thing.
Wait, wasn't that also a launch on One?
Yes. Dead Rising 3 was an Xbox One launch game, and somehow that ended up being the first game I played on Series X, because we had nothing else to play.
I was just going to say, I wonder if that's the first game you launched on your One as well. Now you have to make a pattern of it. Now the next console.
I think it was Killer Instinct on the One.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
I'll definitely going to jump on there. I mean, the Xbox has done pretty well with their back compat and their FPS boost stuff, too. So it's kind of neat to see some of those games brought up really well for current gen stuff.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun playing through the Dishonored stuff on the Series X. All right. Should we take a break and come back with some news?
Sure.
The news of the world. Mm-hmm. So everybody out there, pause your Halo game, or actually unpause your Halo.
Just keep listening as you drive around the open world.
That's true.
That's what podcasts are for.
Well, the break for you is going to be instantaneous, so don't miss a beat. We're going to be right back after this.
This week's show is brought to you by Rocket Money. Brad Shoemaker, Alex Navarro, I bet you guys have subscriptions.
I had a lot of subscriptions. I had too many subscriptions, and at a certain point, I had to drill down. I had to focus. I had to make sure that I did not have so many subscriptions anymore.
You had to take time out of your day.
My busy schedule.
Your time, which is worth more than anything, to find those subscriptions and cancel. Brad Shoemaker, do you live a subscription lifestyle?
I am just a walking monthly bill at this point.
It's the world we live in. If you need help, boy, guys, I got some news for you. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. It says here that most people think they're spending $80 on their subscriptions, when in reality, the number is closer to $200.
My God.
What are we even doing? With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. Rocket Money also lets you monitor all your expenses in one place, recommends custom budgets based on your past spending, and they'll even send you notifications when you've reached your spending limits. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/nextlander. That's rocketmoney.com/nextlander. rocketmoney.com/nextlander. Thanks, Rocket Money. This week's show is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Alex Navarro, Brad Shoemaker, you're not going to walk out of the house naked, right?
Not if I can help it.
You're going to put your VPN on first.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
One leg at a time, like I always do.
ExpressVPN is the easiest way to browse safely, securely, and just better. I just used ExpressVPN. I was away on a trip. I've had ExpressVPN for a couple of years here. When I got on that hotel Wi-Fi, I slipped right into ExpressVPN. One click, very easy. Get in there, and then I was able to access the internet, let's say.
Yeah. What are you doing on that vacation there?
I had to access my GitHub account, and I was doing some coding, and then
I
used my ExpressVPN and then VPN'd into my home computer.
Likely story.
And then I watched, I watched some videos, and it's
fast
enough.
That's what they all say.
It's got great speeds. It was connected very easily. I was even able to stream in HD problemless on the hotel Wi-Fi. And they didn't know a damn thing. Says here you can connect to ExpressVPN and you won't even realize you have it on, which I can vouch for. It's pretty seamless. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/nextlander and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/nextlander to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN. expressvpn.com/nextlander. Thanks, ExpressVPN.
And we are back, and it's time for the news.
News you can use.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, can you could definitely maybe. Use it for something.
Can you? What would you use this news for?
Podcast segment.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Alex Navarro, you have gone through, plucked some news out this week.
Yes, Brad Shoemaker's on assignment, so I am now officially newsy Alex Navarro.
That's right. That assignment is trying to not have Brad do too much work while being on a faux time off.
I wouldn't print this news out and wipe my windows with it.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, should I just go?
Just kidding.
I think this is news I can use to be better informed about the gaming industry. Thank you very much, Alex Navarro.
There you go.
All right.
Inform me about the gaming industry.
All right, let me give you some information here about a little game, a little franchise called Battlefield.
Mm. I've heard of it.
You may have, you remember it from Battlefield 2042, which launched last month, and everyone seemed to immediately forget about.
I remember it like it was 2 weeks ago.
Why'd you have to remind me? Because I am still kind of...
trying to forget it.
Was that I want it to be good.
Was that actually
2 weeks
ago?
My hard drive forgot it, so.
That was actually 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago at most.
Dude.
Well, why are you bringing up these wounds?
The reason being that things are about to get shaken up, or are being shaken up, in the Battlefield universe.
Weather, man. Changes everything.
That's right.
Yeah, you know. I think the weather thing was maybe not enough to keep things on the rails that they were on, because...
Oh, storm's coming.
The structure of who makes the Battlefield for the Electronic Arts has changed.
Okay.
DICE has traditionally obviously been the developer for these games, and I do believe they will still be involved on some level, but they are no longer the head of Battlefield.
That's weird.
The new head of Battlefield looks a lot like Vince Zampella's head.
That's even weirder if it's not Vince Zampella.
It is, in fact, Vince Zampella. It's not just like a giant Zardoz head made out of Vince Zampella's head. Like, it is actually him. He is heading up the new sort of Battlefield initiative at EA. Not really clear if he is, like, doing this in addition to Respawn stuff, or if he is kind of shifting his focus that way.
That would be my guess. I mean, we talked about it last week when they announced that they were taking Titanfall off of sale.
Yeah.
How much his role and the role of Respawn has ascended inside of EA, especially after the wild success of Apex, right? Like,
yes.
Like, he's kind of been moving up the ladder already. I would assume this is just another page in his portfolio, but I can't say for sure.
You are probably right about that, but so the way this is going to work is that he is now the head of all things Battlefield, and Marcus Lehto, who's formerly of the Halo franchise and is currently has a new studio at EA, will be working on efforts to bring world building and narrative into Battlefield.
Huh. Hmm. So you mean like characters that talk to each other, that maybe like wisecrack and quip and try to steal gold bars? And go on wacky hijinks, that kind of narrative?
You know, they haven't really specified, like, but I'm just going to say yes.
Like a company of bad...
Yeah, like a real... Yeah,
no, yes, more like a company of heroes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, that trademark has probably lapsed at this point.
All right, what if you were like this soldier, right? And you like, you stuck like this AI in your head. Listen, it'll work.
And what you if can tell a story with that.
What if when you pause the menus, you kind of got this mouse cursory thing that you could use to select all your stuff? And everybody's going to hate it at first, but eventually everybody's going to adopt it, and there's going to be no getting around it.
Did you see, not to completely derail this news story, that 30th anniversary Destiny thing they put out? That is just
I did see that,
It's just like chock full of like totally not Halo weapons. I think it's pretty rad. I mean, like, whatever. They came up with all that stuff, right? Like, that's they can do
that. It's a Riddler. It shoots reeds at people.
That's right.
That's not bad.
You get hit with enough.
Very bad, but I like it.
You get hit with enough reeds, and you just break out into symphony. I don't know.
Reed Hastings.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
The tone of this story I got was. Nobody's talking to each other. Some people are kind of mad. Am I reading the right tone from this story?
Well, real quick, did we mention that the general manager of Battlefield at DICE, I'm sorry, he was just the general manager of DICE, period.
Yes, Oscar Gabrielson.
Has departed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be my next bit. Okay. Yes, Oscar is out. He is apparently going to spend the next few months getting them up to speed on what's going forward, and then he is on to something else.
So what is that? How are you reading this?
I'm reading this as, and this is just purely my hot take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think EA's real happy with where Battlefield's been at. Okay. I don't think they're real happy with where DICE has been at.
Okay.
And I think they are pretty happy with how Respawn has been going. Okay. And they're just like, go work your magic.
I mean, it's been a rough number of years at DICE with all the the Battlefront.
Yes.
Fiasco, like multiple fiascos, I guess.
Not to mention all the shit around Frostbite and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, it doesn't feel like the current vibe is very much like DICE is the future of EA right now.
Yeah, DICE has been cranking games out for a very long time at this point.
So I don't think DICE is going anywhere, to be fair, but like, it just seems like maybe they think needs new creative direction.
What you're telling me is Disney came to EA and was like, who's the guys that made the good Star Wars game for us from you guys? Who's that guy? Vince?
Yes, Vinny Respawn.
Yeah, get that guy. Well, how come that guy doesn't make the other ones for us? He made the good one. Make him. Well, I don't really know about video games. My kids play them, but like they really like that.
That doesn't
one.
Sound anything like John Drake.
Why'd you bring that guy over and put him in charge of this one and then have him make the good Star Wars games with the fighting everybody? I don't know how I'm going to tell you how to do your job, but,
I'm just a humble head in a jar. What do I know about making video games? But come on.
What do I know? I don't know. Anyway, you think about that. I got 27 more Disney properties I got to do after this, more franchises I got to concept after this one. You know anything about wallpaper? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we're going to do Disney. It's going to be a wallpaper thing. It's going to be great. So, I don't know. The tone of this one seemed like shakeups.
Yeah, it's time to shake some things up. Let's give this big franchise that we know will make us a lot of money if we do well with it to a company that is currently has a game going that makes us a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I think is happening here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stick to the plan, DeLorean.
DICE is in Stockholm, right?
They are Swedish. I don't know if it's specifically Stockholm or not.
I want to say, yes, they are based in
Stockholm. It probably is.
They are based in Stockholm. I am like completely talking out of my ass here. Like it's pretty much speculation. But if you remember, Patrick Soderlund left EA.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that was like 2 years ago?
2-3 years ago. He has started up another studio in Stockholm.
Okay.
That is doing some like really impressive technical stuff. They're actually open sourcing a lot of the stuff that they're doing over there for like AI-driven character generation and like animation stuff and all kinds of really interesting things. And like, obviously they're not the only other video game studio in Stockholm or whatever, but I do wonder if there's been like some talent that has moved around, you know, like I wonder if DICE has lost people to other studios or anything like that. They have been around for a long time and EA specifically has been having them crank out games pretty rapidly, right?
I don't know why my brain is trying to shift the only video game studio in Stockholm into the only living boy in New York, trying to find the way to make that the chorus. And it's just not all the way there, but like it won't go away.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you know, they were leapfrogging Battlefield and Battlefront games for a while, you know, like I wonder if some people decided maybe it was time to.
Not to mention probably doing a lot of support with Frostbite.
Yes. You
know, like, yeah. Well, yeah. They've had to do a lot of support with Frostbite because apparently most other studios did not like the way it applied to their games.
I bet there's a really interesting tale of DICE within EA do you know like when you guys were probably in the industry long enough to recall how that all came together, DICE and EA and
if I'm not mistaken, I actually just found my original copy of Battlefield 1942 like a month ago. Pretty sure there's an EA logo on that thing, so I think they got bought out. And I had never heard of DICE, I don't think, before that game came out. So I think they got acquired like very early on.
And that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Are they like some acronym that just got turned into DICE, like Developers in Concert?
I don't know. Let's see. Boy, if you type DICE games into Google.
You're going to have to work a little harder than that.
end up on the list of DICE games Wikipedia page.
You have to try a little harder.
I could tell you about everything from backgammon to Balut to Button Men to Chuck-a-Luck.
I don't want you to hear about your Chuck-a-Luck.
Did you know there's a game called Dice Chess?
Yes.
Oh, Dungeons & Dragons, a dice game, sure.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, the original dice game.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, we don't have to answer all the questions.
DICE has been at EA for a very long time, I know that.
Alex, what else is in the news?
What else is in the news? So we haven't updated much on Activision recently, and that's because there actually hasn't been a ton of movement as far as like where things are at there. You know, Bobby Kotick is still there. They're still being sued. Various things are still going on. Uh-huh. One development that did come up last week is that Raven Software, the studio that is essentially the lead developer on Call of Duty Warzone at this point, though obviously they've been around for a while, a bunch of staff there walked out because of layoffs within the QA department. Apparently, at various points, Activision has been telling people within that realm that, you know, like people that were on contract would be made full time. I'd seen some scuttlebutt about some people actually moving to like the place where Raven is based in the hope, like the likelihood of potentially getting full time work. And some of those people may have been the ones laid off. And people were real unhappy about this within the company. And so a number of people walked out in protest a couple of days in a row, I believe. And the demand is that these people be brought back and brought on full time. And so Activision responded to this by trying to say, you know, we are converting approximately 500 temporary workers to full-time employees in the coming months. Unfortunately, as part of this change, we've also notified 20 temporary workers across studios that their contracts would not be extended. That answer did not quell the unrest there. And, you know, this, I think, separate from all the other things going on from Activision, this is one of those things where, like, QA departments are generally very undervalued.
Yeah.
These days, they very heavily rely on contract work versus full-time.
Right.
And, you know, in a thing like Warzone, which makes Activision a shit ton of money and is a live service game that needs to be QA'd constantly, this felt like a thing. It seems like this may have been a thing that just kind of broke the back, you know, like, of just like, hey, this is too much. We can't do the deal with this.
It makes me wonder, like you say, QA is undervalued. I wonder if they were also under-resourced because...
distinctly possible.
Like, because you hear about, like, even in more recent years, as, like, there's been a campaign to, like, reduce crunch and, like, make you know, work conditions more livable for game developers. Like, you also hear stories about how QA just like mysteriously does not get included in those efforts, you know?
It's
Oh, like if you're, you know, artists and programmers and so forth have had some new policies instituted, but none of them apply to QA. So
if anything, it seems like things have gotten worse since the brief year I spent doing QA back in 2001, because I, you know, I wasn't getting benefits, but like I got a full, you know, like $15, $20 an hour salary. You know, I was paid pretty well, reasonably well for my work for what it was. You know, obviously there was a lot of people, a lot of dangling of like, oh, you know, maybe we'll move you into other development positions. Maybe we'll keep you on. And then inevitably people would get laid off at the end of every year. But like, you know, it seems like it, as they have shifted more into contract work and remote work and just sort of like these QA agencies that they will hire to kind of do these work, do this work, like the reliance has not really changed, but the like compensation has greatly gotten worse.
Right. And also just again, like a workforce thing, like it's possible that like, in addition to in a principled way they are doing this walkout, they may also be saying like, hey, we were barely getting by with the people we had, and now you're trying to make us do more with less. Like, fuck you. Like, no, this is not acceptable.
Of the most popular live service games, like, in console gaming right now.
Right.
And PC, for that matter.
Yeah.
Also, I think you mentioned in the story as well, the kind of messaging or maybe mishandling of the messaging leading up to some of the layoffs.
You know, mishandling messaging seems to kind of be par for the course with them these days. So
maybe just let this one ride. Like, maybe think about where your company is at and just think like, hey, maybe we could just like
maybe be a leader in that space.
Do this right now.
Definitely just on the kind of heels of what you guys talked about, a long time have heard complaints from not every QA department, but you know, QA departments in general get a vibe that it is the most disposable, you know, like,
oh yeah, that is always treated, how it's been
treated as the most disposable, but also at the same time maybe like one of the most crucial, like if you have a poorly run QA department,
you don't want your other developers doing Q&A for you QA for you, because they have other things to do. You need to have dedicated people doing this.
All right, thanks for that update. That's
so shout out to the Raven workers. I hope everyone that, you know, was laid off, if they don't bring them back, at least finds, you know, their way to better employment, and you know, I hope they get what they want.
Also, I guess worth mentioning, after some amount of public pressure, Activision will not be involved with the Game Awards.
Oh, that is true. This week there was a brief kerfuffle where there was an interview with Keighley and he was asked about the Activision stuff, and he kind of gave a mealy-mouthed answer about it, of, you know, needing to be very careful about managing their relationships and all that stuff. And after about a day of people yelling at him, he was like, okay, Activision is not actually on the show except for the games they're nominated for.
Okay, so no debuts or whatever.
But there is also an Activision executive that is on the board for that Game Awards thing, so I imagine that was a thorny thing to have to sort out.
You know, I was gonna say you'd think somebody would be able to read the room and even at that level, but you know what,
I'm not sure any of these people can read, period. The only thing they can read is their bank statement.
That's right the stock ticker. Alex, what's up next?
This one is firmly in the rumor category, but I'm going to say I firmly believe that this is actually going to happen.
Okay.
So there was some reporting in Bloomberg that Sony has their own Xbox Game Pass service in the works. This is currently codenamed Spartacus.
Spartacus.
Love it.
Fucking why not?
Why not? Why not?
And so this service would effectively combine PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now. So you would get, you know, the whatever cloud gaming services you have as part of Now, plus, you know, what you normally would get with Plus, which is, you know, free games every month. And it sounds like they were talking about adding some PS1, PS2, and PSP games to this service, potentially at a higher tier of subscription.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the rumor is 3 tiers of pricing. And presumably tier one would be the existing offering at the existing price.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Which is what, 50 plus is still $50 a year, right?
It is $50 a year, yes.
Which makes you wonder, like, what does the highest tier look like in terms of pricing?
I mean, I imagine they probably know they have to be competitive with Game Pass in terms of pricing. Like, they can't just come out with, like, a hella more expensive version of it that doesn't necessarily have all the bells and whistles that Game Pass currently has. And I also wonder if they have taken a look at what Microsoft has done with their backward compat stuff. I know they don't prioritize that stuff the same way, but I feel like if they come out with a limp offering of, like, old PlayStation games that don't really have any kind of, like, any kind of coat of paint on them, I feel like that is not going to be received well, especially if they're talking about charging more money for them.
What is it? So I think I'm guessing, just reading between the lines, it's like tier one would just be the existing PlayStation Plus. Tier two is where you get your Game Pass style, like, here's a bunch of recent games you can play. And then tier three is all that plus streaming and old games. I think that's right.
That seems correct. But again, this is all rumored at this point. So who knows where it may end up.
I don't know. I mean, I looked at there was a story about this on Video Games Chronicle that dug up, like, multiple quotes from both Sean Layden and Jim Ryan about how infeasible it is for them to offer a Game Pass style service, because they're like, hey, our first party game budgets are routinely, like, surpassing $100 million. Like, it's pretty tough to break even on development costs like that when you are charging people a flat $9.99 a month. So
you're saying at the very least, if they offered their first party stuff for as part of the bundle,
right? Like that's what Microsoft does, where it's like, hey, literally everything we make is out day and date on Game Pass. And like that, you know, they flat out said like, hey, you have to run this thing as a loss leader if you're going to, there's no other way to make AAA games in this day and age and like practically give them away like this.
But at the same time though, like, and granted, Microsoft is probably taking a loss on some of these, but like, a Halo Infinite, I'm pretty sure, would have cost a comparable amount to a major PlayStation exclusive. Maybe Forza Horizon 5 doesn't, because they're working on an existing infrastructure and, you know, just it's less stuff that they have to build for it. But, like, they do make AAA games that also cost a lot of money. They paid billions of dollars to own Bethesda, and then they just started putting their entire library on there.
Well, that's the difference. Microsoft has way deeper pockets than Sony does, and they're way more willing to throw huge amounts of money away to gain the market share.
I don't know if I believe that they have way deeper pockets. Granted, PlayStation division I know is more separate from the rest of Sony, but by
market cap, Microsoft is a massively bigger
Microsoft
company than
Sony.
But could they spend that? Do they have the money to spend potentially on those exclusives being on a service like that? I feel like they could.
So I think there's probably an argument to be made also if you look at where Microsoft read the tea leaves and basically, I think, got people in the Microsoft ecosystem to make money off the backs of transactions within games, right? And I think Sony's offerings are mostly their first party stuff has been big blockbuster third person narrative or non-online, non-transactional games that don't have a micro transaction system in them. Like, you're not buying stuff in God of War, you're not buying stuff in Last of Us, you're not even buying stuff in Spider-Man. You know, if Spider-Man counts in that realm, but, you know, look at Halo, you're going to be able to buy stuff in Halo. Like you're going to spend money in that ecosystem. And, you know, if you give the game away for free, you're not giving the microtransactions away for free. You're getting people in. I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm trying to sell my brothers on getting into the Microsoft ecosystem because I think Game Pass is a great deal, but it's not necessarily all for free. You know, you're gonna get people in, and then you buy the DLC and all the other stuff on top of games now. And I think Microsoft did who knows what the economics of it are, somebody must, but I think Sony makes different products, you know.
But the other side of that though is that, like, if they want to put a premium on our big exclusive titles and we don't necessarily want to make this part of subscription, they got a library. You know, and if they want to focus on, hey, we have this incredible lineup of old PlayStation games going all the way back to PS4, even if you want to just keep the PS5 stuff out of it, at least at launch, and then put those PS5 games on there like a year after they come out or something, there's still something to that.
I said that a bunch of times last year when all those rumors going around that the PS5 would have hardware backwards compatibility for old games on disc, which I still wished like anything they had gotten in there, because there were patents filed around it and stuff like that. But like, you know, like, think about the cachet that the PlayStation brand has carried over the years, and like the just rabid nostalgia for PS1 and PS2 in particular. Like,
it's Nintendo-like.
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it's like approaching that stuff. So if like they put a healthy library of the history of PlayStation out there, that people could just pay a flat rate for, then like I could see that carrying some weight for sure.
And if they do any work to those games, even if it's just a little bit of that, upsampling, frame rate boost type stuff, like I feel like that is a win for them, especially considering, how much shit Jim Ryan got for talking about how, old games don't really matter to them that much, which he's since walked back.
That's the amazing thing, is that regardless of what they do in the future, those quotes will never go away. Like, all those quotes of his about how old games are meaningless.
I mean, Don Matrick might as well be a missing person at this point, and that's still the only thing anyone remembers about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, best of luck. I hope it's a good service. And
they have to do something. They cannot they cannot just sit on their laurels while Game Pass continues to take over.
I mean, I'll just bring up too, Microsoft and Game Pass, and well, let's say Xbox that they kind of go by. They're spending money. Going back to the financial thing, I mean, look at the studio acquisition stuff to tell you how much capital they have, or money that Microsoft is willing to dump into the Xbox department. Yeah. Like they are.
Yep.
They are not to be taken lightly when in terms of resources they are willing to spend in that space. And I think Sony has felt like, not that they operate on austerity, but like they have always felt like they operated on their own money from Sony proper. Like they're very cut and distinct Sony games. They're not out there. They have bought some studios, but they're not out there buying studios at the level of a Bethesda.
No. And the other thing is that, like, again, as much as you can win one of these things at this point, because everything's kind of off cycle and weird now, but like they more or less won the last generation, mm-hmm. Like they were very successful with the PS4. So they didn't come in with a plan to do something wildly different from what, was successful right. for them. Whereas Microsoft had a PR war to win.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, they came in at the PS4 from the PS3, where they had to come back, and they did. And I think going into this one, it's it's funny. Next, maybe we'll be having a different tune if there is a next generation where Microsoft is trying to play catch up. It's interesting. Whoever wins, we win. That's what I say.
Interesting. I like that better than the alternative.
Yeah. I hope. Good services. I mean, looking down the road here, it's going to be subscription services at some point. I feel like we're going to have a platform agnostic subscription services between, PC subscription based things like Epic and Steam. And we'll probably have a third one in the next 15 years. Consoles, you'll be just playing stuff on your TV app. That'll be streaming games. Like we'll get there. It's going to be, I don't think subscriptions are going away. That's Vinny Caravella's 2021 hot take. Yeah.
Safe assumption, yes.
Alex, any more news you want to talk about?
Yeah, we got a couple more here real quick. This is a dumb story. I'm just going to phrase this right now just so everyone knows. And I cannot believe I'm taking the side of Joseph Ferris, but I am very much doing so on this story. Take-Two, publisher of video games, has forced the makers of It Takes Two, the Hazelight game, the co-op game that Brad, you and I played some of earlier this year, to abandon their trademark for the title because it has the words Take Two in it.
This is a bit much, I think.
So what this means does not mean that they have to stop selling It Takes Two, but it does mean that if ever they were to, EA were in a position where they would feel like they needed to challenge, let's say, a Take-Two Interactive over use of the name in a trademarked thing, they can't do that anymore. They can't defend the trademark.
I hate this.
Yeah, it sucks. And so Take-Two has apparently been on a little bit of a tear with this stuff. They have been making a lot of claims about owning the word Rockstar, the word Bully, a variety of other things that are titled, within the Take-Two-iverse. And look, I mean, I think all of this kind of copywriting of names sucks shit, but like, this is also one of those cases where like, it really doesn't hurt you to not be this much of a dick, but this is just the way they are apparently deciding to conduct this business.
The only one that has a claim to Take-Two and Rockstar is Rob Bass.
I agree with that. It does take two to make a thing go right.
Or in this case, very much It takes two to make a thing go
make Hazelight's trademark go out of sight.
Yes, there it is.
Is that what you're trying to get to?
Okay, yes. Very good. No, you got there. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I need Rob Bass's take. I need his two takes on all of this to know if are they going to come for it? Are they going to come for Rob Bass next? Is that what you're saying?
I think they're coming for Rob Bass next.
Are they coming for the Rockstar Energy brand?
You know, I bet they would if they could, if they didn't feel like that Rockstar money was too much. But, you know, a company like Hazelight, yes, that game was put out by EA, but, you know, Hazelight is not a huge studio. And so they can just say, like, hey, no, we're bigger than you.
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
And to be clear, it's not that I hate Joseph Ferris or anything. I have enjoyed, well, I enjoy Brothers, but I've just never been a big fan of his shtick within the industry. But in this case, I'm very firmly on the side of Hazelight.
Sure. Yes. Yes. That is a pretty easy side to choose there.
You cannot trademark things like Civilization and expect that to be.
Bethesda successfully defended Scrolls as being their property. Oh,
if you have the right lawyers, you can say anything and claim anything.
I want to see, Gotti family versus Take Two for the term Mafia, put that one to court.
John Gotti Jr. totally reformed. He's a good guy. Now
still, he wants to write a book. He's gonna write a book like every time I'm fucking Gotti. I want to talk. No, I'm sorry, you can't. We made a game that kind of parodied Mafia stuff back in the day, and so we kind of have a claim to it, too. So we're the Mafia people. You're not allowed to say Take Two anymore. Just a heads up. Thank you, Gotti.
Not allowed. Verboten.
Not allowed to say it, even. You got to... Yeah. I know. Ridiculous.
Speaking of ridiculous...
You can't get more ridiculous.
No. Oh, no. No. Mm. We're going to get there. So NFTs, people love it when we talk about these things, and believe me, I'd rather be talking about anything else, but we are now on the cusp of actual NFT things happening in video games, so therefore, unfortunately, we have to talk about
it. Dude, I cannot believe how fast they turned this around and, like, put a brand on it and established a business model and said, here we go, we're ready to sell them to you.
Well, to be fair, they jammed it into Ghost Recon Breakpoint, a game that, if it all goes horribly wrong, no one's really going to notice. Yeah, I mean,
that is the most hilarious thing about this whole thing.
That is really funny.
They picked the 2.5-year-old Ghost Recon game that nobody liked to begin with to debut their NFT technology.
The 300 people still playing that game online on PC, you're going to be stoked.
Like, okay, well, listen, things. One, yes. I am still playing Ghost Recon.
Okay, so the other 299 people playing.
I cannot wait for the Vinny Caravella trip report on Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Quartz? NFTs? Is that what it's called?
Quartz is the platform, I believe, for their NFT
Ubisoft
stuff.
Quartz? Quartz is the platform. A digit is an individual token. Is that correct?
That is correct. So what they are giving you here, and by giving, I mean selling you through the blockchain or what have you, is these cosmetic items that you can get for your character that have their own serial number on them, so they know it's yours. And as far as I can tell, it's like helmets and shit. That's kind of it
That's what the trailer shows. The one aspect of the story that I can get down with is the extremely prominently displayed unique serial number on every cosmetic item. Like, that is the kind of stupid that I think is actually hilarious about this.
But do you need the blockchain to do something like that?
Even though everything else about this sucks.
So in this story...
Yeah.
In this story... Okay. A couple of things. One thing... In the story I read on Polygon, they're making a point of saying that they're doing proof of stake versus proof of work, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of them trying to say, hey, we're investigating or we're testing out the kind of environmental implications of this, right? Because proof of stake supposedly is has much less of an impact.
So they say
on the energy it costs to do this stuff. So it was interesting to even see that recognized as a thing. Obviously, they have looked into what NFTs are since we saw the problems with NFTs. But the other thing is, like, in this story, they talk about how outside of the Ubisoft ecosystem, somebody could sell this stuff. Now, that might be a little further down the road, but they don't go on to say what that marketplace might look like, right? So I think probably within a Ubisoft ecosystem, do you need this? Probably not. I don't. Where's the other part of this where you're able to sell these things off?
I think Ubisoft. You can sell it off platform, right? I believe.
Yeah. So that's what they're getting at. So like, how does that work? Right. That's the bigger thing of like, Brad, how do you take your helmet with your serial number? And then what are the tools and what is the mechanism by which you sell that to me? What is the take on Ubisoft's part? What is your receipt on that? Your lineage on that? When I then sell that to somebody else and sell that to somebody else, are you still getting that percentage, like 2% on every sale?
Saying you're in the market for a new helmet?
If it's got a six serial number.
I got one right. Dude, the number on this thing is so low.
Oh, is it 666?
Dude, it's like a four-digit serial number, man.
Oh, that's early on.
I don't know. I assume that's where the blockchain comes in terms of how you authenticate ownership.
I guess I don't
transfer
know
for purchases and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, listen. I understand more now than I did early on in NFT stuff of like how this stuff works. But I'm kind of with you, Alex. Like, what are we getting at here? Right, like
what we're getting at here is they are trying to find a way to have this thing make money for them, and this is them dipping the tiniest of toes into the tiniest bit of water here to see just how bad this might blow up in their face if it doesn't go well.
Oh, you know, yeah, I mean, Ubisoft is the king of early adoption, right, and throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, they're there day one on every new platform and every new peripheral, and now every new distributed authentication technology.
I was going to say, the second thing I was going to say was, yeah, man, stuffing this into Breakpoint is definitely your 5:59 p.m. post Friday news post thing. I'm like, we just got to sneak this in
this
somewhere.
This is a notes app apology of a launch.
Yes. Ghost Recon Breakpoint is definitely the 5 p.m. Friday of video games.
It's just totally.
Like, extremely.
I'm gonna get this out there. Just like, if you could just not write about this, would also be very good. Just like, we're just gonna let this one kind of ride for a little bit.
My other favorite thing is how prominently they describe this as a quote, playable and energy efficient NFTs.
That's right. This is the proof of stake stuff.
I know, but I mean, the jury.
It's like streaming 30 seconds of video, man.
As far as I know, the jury is still out on how much difference that's actually going to make in the long run. But they are very in your face about, like, they're, put it another way, they are very aware of the criticisms.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. After, like, they have learned a lot since their initial.
They are not bungling their way into this. They know exactly why people don't like it. And they're just like, oh, trust us. We fixed everything. It's fine.
I think the other thing this story said was this will mostly be, or this coming out of the gate is going to be PC focused. So I am playing Breakpoint on the, for people asking, why am I playing Breakpoint? It's the game that, after Outriders was the thing that, it was on sale. And so my family, my brothers and I got into it, to kind of just play.
It's a chat room
and it's fun to, I see them, talk to them once a week and we play. So we don't even know what's going on. I have played a lot of that game at this point. It is not good in terms of, but it's fun to play around with other people in it, in terms of like playing with my brothers and doing that stuff in it. But that story in that game,
it's a piece of work.
Not a big fan of actor whose name I can't remember.
Berenthal.
Oh, John Berenthal is fine. Like, he's not necessarily the problem with that game. It's the everything else.
If he were in more of that game, I might enjoy it more.
Fair.
That game is old now. That game. That season or the whatever it was, that game ended and your character just kind of looks at the camera or something and is just like, it's not the end of it. And then you have to buy the expansions and like, then you buy the other seasons of it. Just weird. I mean, I will say one nice thing about that. If you're playing with a group, only one person has to buy the expansion stuff and everybody gets to play those missions. So that's actually kind
of
nice.
How generous of them.
Yeah. So when I am done with it, Brad, I will put it on the marketplace.
Oh, of course.
And then, you can buy that, hopefully. See, how come they can't figure that out? How come I can't sell that? Let me sell my expansion, my season pass I don't want to use anymore.
I think I know.
Not what they're talking about. Is that it for the...
That's all I got.
Okay. There was this... I'm going to add this little thing in here. There was this Matrix Experience.
Oh, yes. I'm preloaded and ready.
What is... reload Matrix preloaded. What? Nobody knows what this thing is. It's some kind of...
It's just like the Matrix. What is the Matrix experience?
It's some kind of Unreal Engine 5-based tech demo that I'm guessing is going to be a virtual Keanu Reeves head.
Like full virtual. Like
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I actually genuinely really want to see it because it's not like there's been a lot of UE5 stuff out there to mess with, you know?
So if people want to see this or get in on this, where and how with this?
I think it unlocks right after the Game Awards.
I think you're right.
I assume they're going to debut something about the Matrix there.
Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss are also going
to
be at the
Game Awards. Oh, right, right. So yeah, I downloaded it on Xbox and booted it up, and it just boots to a countdown as of right now.
The pitch here is, quote, a glimpse into the future of interactive storytelling and entertainment in the boundary-pushing cinematic and real-time tech demo that is this Matrix, The Matrix Awakens. That is December 9th after the Game Awards.
They woke it up. Fuck.
I really want to mess with Awakens. That. Because, they haven't really shipped much of anything on UE5 yet, right? So,
no.
I like playing with engine demos. Don't hold it against me.
I hope there's a little finger mouse pointer thing and you can stretch Keanu Reeves' face and wiggle his nose just like Mario.
Yes, that's truly the power of...
Poke Keanu Reeves in the nose. And have him go, woohoo!
Yep. Yee! Oh yeah, his trademark.
Yeah. Or have him, you poke him in the nose and he goes, I love you too! What did he say on the stage?
I think breathtaking is the term. I was going to say mind-blowing. I'm pretty sure it's breathtaking.
All right, well, listen, all of you out there, you're breathtaking.
Ooh.
Uh-huh, you like that.
What about me?
You're breathtaking.
Aww.
You're taking my breath away.
Aww, Alex, you're breathtaking. He's the famous guy, but he said something cool about me. I feel so special.
That's
now
me.
You can get me to say you're breathtaking on the blockchain. I will say it to you individually.
That's right. You can get it. You can go do it on, I forgot the name of the service. The Cameo. You do it on Cameo, and then NFT that, and then put that on the blockchain, but only proof of stake. Thank you. That is going to do it for this week's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's show. We're probably going to talk about more Halo Infinite next week. That's my guess. What we're going to do there. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for supporting us. I want to thank everyone who has watched our stuff. I want to thank everyone who has listened to our stuff. I even want to thank people who've thought about listening to our stuff that maybe haven't had a chance to do it yet. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the club. And a thank you to you. And if this is your first time listening, did you know you could also go to places like patreon.com/nextlander and see a whole array of different tiers? I'm sure there's one that fits you there. You can check them all out over there. Different tiers for different folks. Mm-hmm. There is a tier called... Yeah, that's right.
That's the famous phrase.
That's what you used to watch after DuckTales. Different tiers for different folks. You could join all the different tiers. Probably just join one, I assume. We don't have to join them all. But there is a tier of the mysterious benefactors that get their names read on this here show. Turns out this is my week to do some reading. So not only do you get to hear this beautiful, cold-like voice throughout the show, now you get to hear your name on extra special bonus.
You brought your baritone.
I'm going to have to get down real low in there. All right. Here we go. Starting with our mysterious benefactors, Evan Poon, No One, Vinny's Giant Booga Boogas, Rob M, Nelson LeBlanc, James Smith, Skywarp, John Hubbard, Sean Miller, Jack Einecker, Nick Donegan, Evan Cook, Mark Wilhelm, JM, Jerry Lee, Gary Pejsky, Matt, Conrad Kuzmin, Robert Fisher, Joseph Reagan, John McInnes, hashtag Bunny Crimes, Peter Reardon, Thomas Lynn, Jad Rita, Statics, Andrew Jackson, Bacon Monk, Chris Barkhurst, Anders what'd you say, Brad?
Booga.
Andrews Booga. We're going to go with that. We're giving it a lot on that one. Devin Maestro Hall, Brian Murphy, Kevin Velado, Randy Duax, Mark Allenbach, Aaron Gonzalez Beer, Andrew Tiebkin, Itme JP, Edward Cheek, Andrew Slosky, Steve Lynn, Richard Welsh, aka Hired Noobs, Matthew Herrig, Rick Button, and Tyler Treese. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to our mysterious benefactors.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the support. I don't know
if I concur.
Ever said this before, but we could not do this without you.
Just want to let you know I'm with you.
You have my support. No, thanks, everybody. We've got some more stuff coming up this week, but if you missed it from the previous days in the week, there is some binary domain happening. You can go check that out. Our archive is up on YouTube. We've got that video on Halo Brad mentioned that is currently up as well, that archive. We've got some more Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe a little bit of a sleeper hit for some, or maybe not so sleeper, maybe just a hit. I'm really enjoying it. And then, Alex, you're going to play some fights in tight spaces.
Yes,
this
I
week.
Am.
And then Friday.
Tomorrow, in fact. Or today, right. Depending on when you're listening to this.
Depending on when you're listening, what is time, what is space? And then we're going to have a stream on Friday. And then we're going to be back again the week after. Probably the week after that. We might do a little something different during the week after that. Depending on the holidays. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're gearing up towards the end of the year. Let's make 2021 2021. Huh?
Like that? I think we need to workshop that slogan a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
It's Let's make 2021 2020 fun.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's possible. I don't know.
Let's make the last few weeks of 2021 as 2020 fun as possible.
Let's make it 2020 done. And then
I can get behind.
Yeah. And then we can move into 2020 take two.
Don't say that out loud.
I'm gonna file that. Let's see how that goes. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week.